Now, the state's largest police union is out with a new set of recommendations to reform law enforcement in Wisconsin. Yesterday, the Wisconsin Professional Police Association unveiled its blueprint for change. It calls for an expansion of body cameras, community policing, and criminal penalties for people who take part in what the association calls public violence and destruction. The proposals come 2 days after state Republicans convened a special session at the legislature to deal with a package of reform bills from Governor Evers. It lasted about 30 seconds with no action taken. Jim Palmer is the executive director of the Wisconsin Professional Police Association. Jim, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Good afternoon. Thank you for having me.
Jim, where does this blueprint for change come from? Why is it happening now?
Well, I think, you know, as we've all seen following the tragic death of George Floyd in Minneapolis in May, you know, the topic of police reform in America and in Wisconsin has, you know, become elevated to a new place in our American consciousness like never before. And, you know, in the last week or so following the shooting of Jacob Blake in Kenosha, we've seen, you know, the national reckoning that surrounds policing has become even more intense and polarized. Following the death of George Floyd, you know, we decided as the state's largest law enforcement group that we really wanted to take advantage of the opportunity to be a leader. You know, Wisconsin, and in particular Wisconsin's law enforcement community, has been a pioneer in the area of police reform before. In 2014, as many people know, Wisconsin was the first state in the nation to mandate the independent investigations of officer-involved deaths by outside agencies. You know, our law enforcement community played an integral role in bringing that new law about. And so I think we can do that again, and we wanted to lead in a meaningful way.
You know, with those violent interactions between police and black men that you just cited, we know that the idea of police reform is an intense, a polarizing subject, and not much reform has been accomplished to this point. Your report says this dynamic is detrimental to everyone, including police officers. Explain that.
Well, I think we've seen just in the last week, you know, every time there is a controversial use of force incident anywhere in the country, and that includes Wisconsin, there is a lot of public discussion and healthy dialogue in many respects about what people view as, you know, areas that need to be changed. But as the attention or the media attention dissipates, so does any commitment to maintain that dialogue. And we didn't want to see that happen here. You know, as I mentioned earlier, you know, all these incidents are controversial. And this time in Kenosha, what makes it even more so and more unique is the fact that we have as a backdrop a presidential election. And that, I think, has really caused people to become even more polarized. And, you know, I think one of the messages that we wanted to send, and there are a couple with this overarching and comprehensive plan, is that one, it is okay to support social change and the cause for social justice, and at the same time, support law enforcement in the incredibly difficult and dangerous jobs that they do. You know, far too often, it seems like we're becoming relegated into, you have to be in one camp or the other. And it doesn't have to be that way. And, you know, we fear that we're going to miss an opportunity as a state, and as a society and as a country, to have a reasonable dialogue, to come together and begin to make some take some meaningful steps toward, you know, towards progress and towards making some changes that benefit not only the public, but the law enforcement officers that serve them.
I want to get to some of the recommendations you have, but you talked about how these incidents happen and then people stop talking about it and we don't do anything about it. Okay, well, who stops talking? Whose responsibility is this to keep the momentum up for reform?
Well, frankly, I think it's everybody's responsibility. And, you know, part of our the reason behind this undertaking in putting together this comprehensive plan was because we think, you know, we wanted to take responsibility as well. We just can't, you know, point fingers by any means. We have to make sure that we're doing our part and hope others see that call to action and want to join in. You know, following the death of George Floyd, we looked inward. We spent a lot of time evaluating ways and exploring ways to potentially strengthen the law enforcement profession. And then we also had a lot of candid, thoughtful discussions with Republican lawmakers, Democratic lawmakers, and others to make sure that what we were putting together made sense, would be good for law enforcement, good for the public, and that would represent changes that, you know, won't compromise officer safety and public safety, because certainly that's not something we want to do either. And so we feel very good about the plan that we've put together, and we look forward to continuing to pursue these initiatives and others in the weeks and months ahead.
We're talking with Jim Palmer, who's the executive director of the Wisconsin Professional Police Association, and we are taking your calls at 800-642-1234. How hopeful are you that we'll manage to make the right reforms here in Wisconsin? Whose responsibility do you think police reform is? You can give us a call now at 800-642-1234 as we really dig into some of the recommendations in this proposal from the Police Association. Let's start with use of force. See this. There must be a problem with the way these policies are set up now. And how does this fix the issue of use of force?
Well, I think our policy with regard to use of force, I don't know that it necessarily starts from the premise that there's a problem. Hmm. There has been legislation introduced in the past that would require that certain principles be incorporated in every use of force policy in the state. As our document, A Blueprint for Change, explains, all those principles already exist in Wisconsin in one form or another. Some are in statute, some exist in the administrative code, and others exist in the law enforcement curriculum that governs training and education throughout the state. But we do think there is public policy value in codifying those and making sure that every agency policy across the state says those in one way. And I think that's just good for uniformity purposes. And I think it sends a very clear and strong message to the public.
So you're saying that all these policies don't necessarily need to be changed, but we need to acknowledge them as standards across different departments?
What I'm saying is I think there's value in codifying these principles that already exist in one form or another, codifying them into a single statute. I think that sends an important message, not only to law enforcement officers, but to the public. So that I think there is, you know, there's some segments of the state and of the public that believe that, you know, these principles don't already exist. And they do. But I think we can shore them up by codifying them into one single statute.
Let's go ahead and take a call now. We've got Sam in Milwaukee ready to join our conversation. Sam, welcome to Central Time.
Hey, thanks for having me on. So I noticed that I think a Reuters poll after George Floyd was murdered showed that 96% of Americans agreed that we needed some form of policing reforms, including 94% of Republicans. And so, I mean, that's, you know, almost a 9/11 scale unity moment for the country. And then watching the Speaker of the House block a criminal justice reform bill at the national level was pretty shattering, I think, for a lot of people who expected our government to act. So as an organization like yours, how do you engage in both national-level discussions and state-level?
Yeah, Sam, you're breaking up, but we get it, with the police association having to work with different leaders. How do you get across what you think you need and also listen to lawmakers who are trying to create the laws, Jim?
Well, it is very challenging. Especially in this highly partisan, polarized environment. We try and play things straight, call them as we see them, and we think we have a very independent record when it comes to not only the legislation that we support, but, you know, the candidates that we support when they run for office. Relative to state and federal issues, the legislation, the things that state lawmakers do are probably the things that will have the most impact on law enforcement in the state of Wisconsin. And so that's where our attention is focused. Assembly Speaker Robin Voss has created a task force that will be looking at a wide variety of police reform issues in the months ahead, leading up to the next session of the state legislature. And we look forward to playing an important part of that. And hopefully these policies will warrant some consideration. I'm sure there will be others. And I think as the state's largest law enforcement group, we have to maintain an open mind to those things and be willing to have a reasonable discussion with people from both sides of the aisle.
Is that sort of task force enough or fast enough? I mean, on this very program earlier this week, we had callers say, we've been talking about police reform. We know there are some things that are wrong and we should do them and stop studying them repeatedly. It's time to act. Is it time to act, Jim?
I think it is absolutely time to act. I think we do need to be thoughtful about it at the same time. I don't think, you know, I don't think we want to act hastily where, you know, issues of officer safety and public safety are concerned. Having said that, there have been quite a few proposals that have been around for the last few years. In fact, the report we put out, A Blueprint for Change, includes some of them from both Republicans and Democrats. So I just think we need to make sure we have I think the task force, to answer your question, can be an outstanding forum and an outlet for legislative recommendations that can be introduced early on in the next session of the legislature. We need to act, and we agree with that, and that's, you know, the other reason, fundamental reason why we came out with this report. Now is the time to act. I think the public demands it. I think law enforcement will benefit from it, and I think the public will benefit from it, but we do need to be thoughtful about it.
We're talking with the executive director of the Wisconsin Professional Police Association, Jim Palmer. The group came out with a set of proposals to reform policing in Wisconsin. You can be part of this conversation at 800-642-1234. What kind of changes do you think need to happen to make policing more effective, better here in Wisconsin? 800-642-1234. Our conversation continues here on Central Time. You're listening to the Ideas Network. You're listening to Central Time. I'm Keeley Boltina. Right now, the state's largest police union is out with a new set of recommendations to reform law enforcement in Wisconsin. And we are talking with Jim Palmer, who's the executive director of the Wisconsin Professional Police Association. We're talking about the recommendations, and we're also taking your calls at 800-642-1234. We've got Andrew from Eagle, who's ready to join the conversation. Hi, Andrew.
Hi, how are you guys doing?
Good, thanks. What's on your mind?
I just wanted to ask the gentleman what his opinion was on getting away from the federal war on drugs and, decriminalizing the use of drugs by people in their homes as long as they're not, you know, committing acts of violence on anybody or endangering anyone. What is his opinion on it? Because I think that it puts police officers in danger when they go to serve warrants on those houses, and it also puts the people inside the house in danger. And I was just curious what his thoughts were.
Andrew, thanks for that call. Jim Palmer, reducing some of the crimes that we have on the books now so that we decriminalize them and then police don't have to try to enforce them.
Well, I think, you know, in the past we've demonstrated and we've publicly stated that, some of the public policy pursuits of the last two decades have been, you know, perhaps tough on crime, but not necessarily smart on crime. Having said that, I think, you know, we've demonstrated a willingness to look at various proposals. But, I think, you know, those are issues that can be explored. I think there are a whole host of potential reforms in the criminal justice system. You know, just among others that we should be looking at relative to our plan, A Blueprint for Change. We really wanted to focus first internally and look at policing and public safety and come up with some proposals that we think will make a fundamental difference. I think that, you know, there are a whole host of areas that warrant some consideration. I'd have to, you know, look at any specific proposal relative to, you know, decriminalizing the use of certain drugs.
Although in your plan, one of the items would establish criminal penalties, in this case for people who intentionally participate in a riot. What's the thinking here?
Well, I mean, I think we've seen, I think there's a couple things I could say about this. You know, what, just first to take a step back, you know, law enforcement officers, I think, bristle, and rightfully so, anytime they see, especially public figures, paint them with a broad brush. There have been certain statements, frankly, by leaders at all levels, and most notably perhaps in Wisconsin, Governor Evers, that I think are not helpful to the kind of discourse that we need if we want to bring people together and affect meaningful change. I think the same is true relative to protesters. I think a lot of I think most people who have followed this closely recognize that the vast majority of the protests that have occurred in the last few months have been peaceful. However, there are people that have attempted to capitalize on those protest activities and engage in destructive and violent behavior. I think they, in part, have co-opted the peaceful protest message that might otherwise be sent. And I do think that there is value in exploring ways to hold people more accountable for when they engage in the kind of destructive behavior that we've seen in Madison, Kenosha, and other places around the country.
We've heard from some activists, some protesters who say they agree with you, and they say police could help de-escalate the situation more, too. Do you see a role for police to calm things down also?
Well, I think whether it's the police in Madison, Kenosha, or anywhere else in the country, you know, it is a delicate art form that no one has necessarily mastered in terms of what the right approach is, what the right tactics are, what the show of strength should be. You know, officers, first and foremost, they need to be able to protect the public. They need to protect themselves. And, you know, I think these are very dynamic situations. And oftentimes officers are spread very thin, which is why we've seen, you know, National Guardsmen called in on a couple occasions throughout the state in the last few weeks. So I think there are things that law enforcement can do to de-escalate, you know, but it is a delicate balance that's difficult to strike. And oftentimes it's worth noting, it's, you know, their action, law enforcement's actions are determined by the actions of those that they're encountering. You know, if people are throwing rocks and cans and things of that nature, whatever the case may be, I mean, officers should be entitled to take some enforcement action to protect themselves and others. So I think it is a constant and dynamic area of policing. And I know that it's something that every agency, when they're confronted with these types of situations, looks at very, very, very carefully.
Is that a one-way street, or do you see it the other way, too, that if police are firing things on protesters, that protesters may reasonably try to fight back?
It can work both ways, I suppose. I mean, like I said, it is a delicate balance. And I don't know that anyone anywhere in the country, frankly, has mastered what that should be. We've seen some places throughout the country where law enforcement's just pulled back completely. And there have been, you know, pretty significant spikes in crime in those areas as a result. So I do think it's a delicate balance. And I know that's something that law enforcement agencies constantly evaluate when these protest events take place.
We've got Jim Palmer, who's the executive director of the Wisconsin Professional Police Association, here with us. And we've got Louie from Phillips, who wants to talk here. Hi, Louie.
Hey. Yeah, I just hear a lot here lately about the police reform. And I just, you know, like, with these poor guys, they're really under the gun. And you know, to tell you the truth, I've been on the other end of the police baton. When I was a younger man, I was quite the rascal, disorderly conduct and resisting arrest and all that and good stuff. And what I've learned was that these guys never singled me out just for laughs. Anytime we had a run-in or a bump-in with each other, it was because I did something to get their attention. And then I also found out that if I didn't give them a hard time, it would be a lot easier on everybody because... And I'd say, you're not taking me to jail. And, well, I was going to go to jail, whether I wanted to go or not. It might take 5 or 6 months, but eventually I went to go into jail with some lumps on me and extra charges. And luckily I never got shot. But I'm looking at it a different light now, especially after 9/11, when you see everyone running away from those buildings and the policemen running into those buildings. It gave me a different perspective on those guys and what they have.
Yeah, Louie, and Louie, thank you for sharing that story. And I also hear Louie saying people need to follow police orders. And to do that, police have to trust people and people have to trust police. Are you making any recommendations to try to improve those relationships between people in the community and police as they encounter one another?
Oh, I think there are quite a few. It's hard to just pick one. We have a lot of oversight and accountability measures. To Louie's point, I do think it should not be lost that there is an individual issue, an issue of individual responsibility that is at play here as well. When law enforcement officers, issue orders, people should absolutely follow them. Now, if an individual doesn't, that doesn't necessarily entitle a particular use of force by an officer. So I don't want to, you know, I don't want to say what, you know, issue the common law enforcement response that you see from other, you know, in other places around the country that, well, if a person just would have done what they were told, it wouldn't have happened. But at the same time, I do think, you know, we shouldn't completely neglect that there is some amount of individual responsibility that people have when they're in their interactions with police as well. We think a lot of the provisions and proposals that we've come up with will help strengthen the relationship between law enforcement and the communities they serve. Not only in, you know, we have provisions and proposals rather that add more accountability measures, add transparency in the hiring process. And we think there are a lot of good things that will, you know, we strongly support body-worn cameras, and we think that's one of the most important things in here. And you know, I think there's no one proposal that will do all the, you know, is going to fix the situation necessarily. I think it's going to be a combination of things. It has to be a collaborative effort, and hopefully, you know, our putting out this report yesterday, a blueprint for change, will help represent a positive foot forward in that regard.
Yeah, Jim, I know we were only able to talk about a few of those proposals. There are a lot of them. We'll make that is posted online at WPR.org/Central Time so people can check it out. And we really appreciate your time going through a couple of those proposals and also talking about this more broadly.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate the opportunity, and I hope to be talking to you again about some of the progress that we need to make.
All right. Thanks, Jim. Jim Palmer is the executive director of the Wisconsin Professional Police Association. And we talked with him about police reforms his group unveiled this week, known as the Blueprint for Change. Again, that's posted at WPR.org/Central Time.